آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To one and all, Allah accept us for His deen. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. الله أكبر. الحمد لله. With the فضل and the كرم of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, we discuss the best of people, the صحابة كرام رضي الله عنهم. And interestingly, the صحابة رضي الله عنهم are also foretold. Like we know our beloved صلى الله عليه وسلم was foretold in all the previous books. Every Nabi of Allah told his companions, told his people about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah in the Quran Kareem mentions how Allah told all the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And interestingly, despite the distortions and the changes that had crept in to the Old and New Testament, the Bible, the present day Bible, despite that, there are so many verses that fit our Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like a glove. Some explicitly, some implicitly. Yes, originally he was mentioned even more explicitly, but despite their distortions and the indoctrinations and the forces of batil creeping into these scriptures, subhanAllah, that's why the Quran Kareem is muhaimin. Quran is the supervisor. Quran checks the quality control for our understanding. Quran verifies if what was said previously is still in its original form or has been distorted. Because Quran is the ultimate and is preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it came to the previous books, Allah says, بِمَسْتُحْفِظُوا مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. They were given the responsibility to preserve the book. When it comes to the Quran, Allah announces with the plural of glory, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون. Allah. And we have indeed revealed the book, and we it is that would indeed preserve it. Allah is the preserver and the protector of the Quran Kareem. So some of the verses that still refer to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One interestingly is Deuteronomy 18:18, a prophet like Moses, Musa alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala, you can look into the verse where Allah Ta'ala says to Musa alayhi salam, the final prophet will be like you, and he will be from the brothers of your people, meaning the brothers of the Israelites, meaning the Ismailites, and he will not speak of his own accord and so forth and so forth. In Isaiah 29:12, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referred to as the unlettered messenger. Subhanallah. Unlettered because Allah Ta'ala is his teacher. In Deuteronomy, the Sahaba and the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are referred to as the unlettered people. Because this is an affinity to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is Ummi. And this is Deuteronomy 32:21, where, subhanallah, the Israelites are told that you don't want to do Allah's work. Allah is replacing you with the people that you look down upon. And Deuteronomy 33:2 actually explicitly refers to, subhanAllah, the conquest of Makkah, which we would come to inshallah, because in this discussion we want to mention, like our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned and referred to in the previous books, but also the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu anhum. Anyway, the Song of Solomon's. It's one of the chapters in the Old Testament. Chapter 5 verse 16. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned there by name. Even in the present day prevalent Hebrew Aramaic Bible. In the Hebrew Bible, the verses praise someone, praising his eyes, his hair, his complexion, and so forth and so forth. And then the verses reach 16:5-16. And there the verses state, and who is he? وَكُلُّهُ مُحَمَّدٍ. And he is the great Muhammad. This, like in Arabic, this plural is of glory. Muhammad im. Im is for plural. But now, to camouflage this, they translated this proper noun so that it's not so explicit to their followers that Islam is what is being referred to here, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being referred to here. So they translate it according to the different versions of the Bible, that he is altogether lovely and so forth. And that's total, utter deception. In Matthew 21:43, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah is referred to as a nation which will produce its fruit. A nation that will produce its fruit. In Isaiah 21 verses 13 onward, the burden of Arabia, clearly Arabia is mentioned. In the forest in Arabia shall ye lodge. And then it mentions there, the inhabitants of the land of Tamar brought water to him that was thirsty. They prevented with their bread him that fled. Tamar is Medina, Medina Munawwara. For they fled from the swords, from the drawn sword. So that's verses 14 and 15, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left Makkah Mukarramah and the Meccans tried to kill him, and the people of Medina Munawwara protected him and defended him. And subhanAllah, we see that in the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sahaba, the people of Medina Munawwara, were prepared to give their lives for our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's chapter 21, verse 13, 14, 15. Then we come to 16, for thus hath the Lord said unto me, within a year, according to the years of an hireling, and the glory of Qaidar shall fail. Now within a year, so after Hijrah, approximately a year later, a little after that, Badr took place. So this seems to be an indication to the people of Medina Munawwara protecting our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in those expeditions, especially Badr. A year afterwards, the expedition started. But in Badr, subhanallah, Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, that is highlighted. And then the glory of Qaidar. Qaidar refers to Quraysh because that's one of the sons of Ismail alayhi wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam also comes from that family. But his own at first, many of them turned against him. Afterwards, Allah brought them to the truth. So this verse is indicating to the Ansar of Medina Munawwara. And even Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as, subhanAllah, the comforter in John 14:16, John 14:26, John 15:26, John 16:7, John 16 verses 12 to 14. Clearly in these verses, subhanAllah, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam explains to his people that there's many things I want to share unto you and say unto you, but you cannot bear them. But when he, now the different Bibles describe who's this he, and then they try and interpret it to mean the Holy Spirit. But who is the Holy Spirit? And we can ask them, with whom is this Holy Spirit that you're talking about? There's so many, there's more than 1,000 denominations of Christianity. Who has the Holy Spirit? Which Holy Spirit is teaching what? Who is maintaining the truth? So you explain to them, this is referring to a person. And then also clearly, when they claim that the Holy Spirit was there with Isa alayhi salam, in these verses that I quoted to you, it's clear that the Holy Spirit was there. And this person who Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is talking about is not there. That's why he says, if I go not, he cannot come. So I have to go and then I will send him and he will speak highly of me. And he will not speak of his own accord. That's why in the Quran Kareem there's so much of mention concerning Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam as well. So there's so much of mention despite the distortions about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And interestingly, the Sahaba kiram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Subhanallah, in Surah Fath, Surah 49, towards the end of the chapter has 29 verses, Allah ta'ala mentions Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam and his Mubarak companions. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم محمد رسول الله محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. The context of this verse and this whole entire chapter is the expedition of Hudaybiyah. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exhorted Sahaba, most of whom joined him, very few stayed behind, who were just those who just had embraced Islam, some Bedouin tribes. But most of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum undertook this journey and came to Makkah Mukarramah because they wanted to perform the Umrah with Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and were elated at the fact of visiting the Kaaba, seeing the Kaaba. They were connected to the Kaaba. Now when they come, they were barred. So many amazing miracles happened there. The water emanating from the Mubarak hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so forth and so forth. The Meccan people refused the entry of the Muslims. They said, you cannot enter. Muslims waited there. Then the Meccans sent emissaries to speak on their behalf that why they cannot allow the Muslims entry. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu to explain to them that we're not here to fight, we're here for Umrah. And he said to Hazrat Uthman, give them da'wah, go give encouragement to the weak, suppressed Muslims in the dungeons of Makkah, and so forth and so forth. Thereafter, Muslims at the end, finally, after the truce, were not allowed to enter Makkah. They were saddened and they're returning. But Allah Ta'ala is teaching us a lesson. This chapter was revealed. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Indeed, verily, we have granted thee a clear victory. And the verses continue. In which way is this a victory? Subhanallah. This led to so many victories. After this, Muslims went to Khaybar. Alhamdulillah, that was a conquest. Khaybar, just with their dirty nature, they were planning to attack Medina Munawwara without the presence of the menfolk there, the women and children alone in Medina Munawwara. Anyway, Muslims conquered Khaybar. And thereafter, so many other expeditions. And then this also led to the conquest of Makkah. But what was another amazing conquest here was Sahaba's da'wah to the kings of the world. After this occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Sahaba. He said to him, Allah sent me to the whole world. You have to take it from me and give it to the whole world. Subhanallah. Because Allah Ta'ala chose the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has chosen me and Allah has chosen my Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. And in these verses, another interesting event is referred to. Because when they were signing the document, the mushrikeen refused to write Muhammad Rasulullah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave in just to, you know, for peace. Allah Ta'ala enshrined in his book, Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. And this is, subhanAllah, a response to the fact that you don't want to write Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on your puny document. Allah enshrines in his kalam, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then with him I sahaba radiallahu anhum. The sahaba's strictness on deen and mercy amongst each other and the qualities of ruku', sujood, seeking Allah's pleasure, the signs of Allah consciousness on their faces, the signs of sujood on their faces. And sahaba are described thus in the Torah. Subhanallah. This about being strict and being soft. Stern against the kafir, loving with each other. This also means, Hazrat Mufti al-Haq Sahib, Hafizahullah, explains to us so beautifully that Sahaba knew when to be soft, when to be strict, when to be stern, when to be kind. Perfectly moderate in all of this, in which situation, in which avenue, alhamdulillah. And in this, it's clearly mentioned that the Sahaba are described in the Torah. Then the verse says, وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ كَزَرْعٍ. And their parable in the Injil is so striking and amazing, kazar, like a grain which sends forth its offshoots, circling around it, becoming stronger. Then they grid it strongly, and then it grows stout and firm. فَأَزَرَهُ فَاسْتَغْلَظَ فَاسْتَوَى عَلَى سُوقِ. Meaning that entire farm, that garden, that tree becomes strong, firm, tall. It cannot be uprooted. And what happens then? Through the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, this enrages the disbeliever. لِيَغِيظَ بِهِمُ الْكُفَّارِ. Subhanallah. What we learn at the greatness of Sahaba and their achievements, the disbeliever gets upset. From here we learn the one who gets detested by the mention of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that is the sign of disbelief according to this verse. That's why in the books of hadith, Sahaba's accolades are referred to as manaqib. The amazing achievements and feats and traits and accolades of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because as we learn about Sahaba and we emulate their beautiful ways, naqaba means to penetrate, to strike holes and crumble. So what happens is, as we learn about the Sahaba and we do their works, this crumbles the forces of batil. And also this makes holes in to those who disbelieve because of them not accepting the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. But what's interesting here is Sahaba, clearly the Quran mentions Sahaba are mentioned in the Torah and they are mentioned in the Injil. Then Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةً وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Subhanallah. And Allah has promised the people of Iman and Amal, and that is all the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. That's why this minhum is bayaniya, explaining who are these people of Iman and Amal. Allah has given them maghfira, forgiveness, wa ajran azeema, and great rewards. Great rewards. Subhanallah. Interestingly, we know the Bible has been distorted and changed. Despite the distortions, there are still verses that refer to them. Like Matthew 13:31, Mark 4:27, Matthew 13:31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Similar is Mark 4:27. The expression kingdom of heaven in the various gospels refers to the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his deen and his companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. There's an interesting report that Allama Bayhaqi in his Dalail al-Nubuwa mentions with his chain of reports, that when Saif, the son of the Yazan, took over this Habasha region, this was after the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by a few years, the delegations of the Arab tribes came to congratulate him. And among them, among the Quraysh, was Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim, Umayyah bin Abd Shams, Abdullah bin Judaan, Asad bin Abd al-Uzza, Wahab bin Abd Manaf, Qusay bin Abd al-Dar, all these senior people. When it was their turn to enter, they were told to enter. Saif was in his palace called Hamdan, a palace that's quite mentioned in the poems of the past. Umayyah bin Abi Salt mentions this. في رأس غمدان دارا منك مهلالا اشرب هنيئا عليك التاج مرتفقا في رأس غمدان درا منك مهلالا تلك المكارم لا قعبان من لبن شيبا بماء فعادا بعد أبوالا. Anyway, the area was fragranted and there was so much of pomp and glory and guards and entourage around the ruler. And then they sought permission to speak. And then he said, if you can speak before the rulers, then we allow you. And then Abdul Muttalib, on behalf of this delegation, because he was the most senior, responds that Allah has enabled you with such a lofty position, such status, such nobility, such an origin. And he praises him. And you have now become the king of the Arabs. And everyone submits to you. And you come from such a noble lineage. And you are, you know, such an amazing replacement and such a predecessor. He praises him really eloquently. But then he says, but who are you, O one who addresses me? Because he was inspired by the eloquent address. He says, I am Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim. He says, oh, you actually the son of our sister. Abdul Muttalib responds in the affirmative. And then he said to them, bring him closer to me. And then he turned to him. And he paid him special attention. He says, Marhaban wa ahlan. Welcome. My heart is open to you. And you have come to your family. This is an amazing Arabic phrase that every Arab, when you visit him, states. Marhaban wa ahlan. Historically, Saif was the first to utilize such a phrase. وَكَانَ أَوَّلَ مَنْ تَكَلَّمَ بِهَا مَرْحَبًا وَأَهْلًا وَنَاقَةً وَرَحْلًا وَمُسْتَنَاحًا سَهْلًا وَمُلْكًا رَبَحْلًا يُعْطِي عَطَاءً جَزْلًا. And so forth and so forth. He also responds very, very eloquently. How was Abdul Muttalib his sister's son? I want you to deliberate over that. Can you remember in history? Hashim wedded in Medina Munawwara a woman by the name of Salma, who comes from Medina Munawwara. And from there came Abdul Muttalib. This is how the people of Medina Munawwara are actually originally from Yemen. Yemen are noble people. Subhanallah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned Iman is Yemeni. Hikmah is Yemeniya. Subhanallah. What an amazing place and land of Iman and faith. The origin of the Aus and Khazraj come from Yemen. Subhanallah. Then he sent them to get special treatment, hospitality. And then after some time, he called for them. He called specifically for Abdul Muttalib. He brought him closer. He said, Ya Abdul Muttalib, I'm going to share some secrets with you. And if it wasn't you, I wouldn't have shared it. I wouldn't have uttered it. Lam abuhlahu. But I find you to be this origin. That's why I'm prepared to mention this to you. But let it be buried in you for now, until Allah allows this event. He says, I find in the previous scriptures and the knowledge, the treasured knowledge, this important, pertinent information, very, very noble information.
that there's benefit through you for humanity, for your people and for the whole world. Abdul Muttalib said, what are you trying to say, respected, revered king? And then he mentioned, إِذَا وُلِدَ بِتِهَامَ غُلَامٌ بَيْنَ كَتِفَيْهِ شَامَ كَانَتْ لَهُ الْإِمَامَةِ وَلَكُمْ بِهِ الزَّعَامَةِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. In Tihama, in the Meccan region, a child with a clear sign between his shoulder blade, who would have the leadership of humanity, and through you, through him, your family would also be honored, and the world would be honored till Qiyamah, forever. Abdul Muttalib said, oh respected king, you've brought such amazing news. This is the best gift ever. Ever has any person arriving to meet a king received something so special. He said, if it wasn't for my respect for you, I would have asked you for more information. The king says, this is the time where he would be born. And he would be born already, as I say to you, and his name would be Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. His father would pass on before him, and then his mother, and his grandfather, and thereafter his uncle would care for him. Allah will send him openly, and Allah will make us وَجَعِلٌ لَهُ مِنَّا أَنصَارًا يُعِزُّ بِهِمْ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ وَيُذِلُّ بِهِمْ أَعْدَاءَهُ through us. Meaning, subhanAllah, the people of Medina Munawwara, we would become his helpers, and Allah will disgrace his enemies through us. And Allah would take Islam and the truth. He wasn't so explicit with that. That's from the explanation. And he would conquer the lands through him. Where يُعْبَدُ الرَّحْمَانِ وَيُدْحَرُ الشَّيْطَانِ, where the most merciful Allah will be worshipped. That is Islam. And the devil would be repelled. And the fires of falsehood and of idolatry would be vanquished and extinguished. قوله فصل وحكمه عدل ويأمر بالمعروف ويفعل وينهى عن المنكر ويبطل. His words would be decisive. His decisions would be most just. He would advocate and exhort justice and good, and he would carry it out himself. He wouldn't just advocate and not do. He's a doer of good as he advocates it, and he would prohibit evil, and he would nullify it and not perpetrate it. Abdul Muttalib then said that, may the Lord bless you. What you're saying is clear to me. Inshallah, we'll continue with the discussion. May Allah accept us and give us the understanding. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.